The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
Cal Fire has gone live with the agency's very first chatbot. KCBS's Megan Goldsby has a breakdown on how it can help and what the technology will not do.
When you visit fire.ca.gov, there is now a prompt in the corner to ask Cal Fire, the agency's first attempt at using AI to help Californians, sometimes worried ones, get the information they need.
We're finding that the vast majority of times, people are coming to our site trying to find out why they see or smell smoke.
And that can be hard to answer, explains Nate Armstrong, staff chief of communications for Cal Fire, not just for a robot.
Cal Fire is the lead wildland firefighting agency for the state of California, but we are not the only firefighting agency for the state of California.
So the fire you smell could be in another agency's jurisdiction or just too small to have reached the Cal Fire site 10-acre threshold. But the bot does direct you to the Cal Fire incident page, which you then have to read for yourself. The AI will not be interpreting it.
Our chatbot isn't designed for that. And the reason is we're trying to help people better navigate the information on our website, and we're trying to make sure that the information that they receive is authoritative.
They're still working on tweaking it. The bot is only a few months old, and they're using our questions to make improvements. But the one thing he says it will never tell you,
it's not going to tell you, yes, you should evacuate or no, you should not. That's not something that AI from a remote location, not knowing what your individual situation is, could happen.
Megan Goldsby, KCBS.
Garbage is piling up across parts of the Bay Area as a nationwide Teamsters strike disrupts trash pickup in about two dozen cities. In Richmond, where service has been halted since Tuesday, residents are frustrated by the growing mess. City opened three temporary drop-off sites yesterday to help out. Republic Services has brought in substitute drivers from out of state to restore limited services in cities like Fremont and Union City, but pickup remains incomplete as recycling and composting are still on hold. Talks between the union and Republic resume tomorrow. Audio released from the Air India flight that crashed back in June indicates the accident may have been deliberate. KCBS's Jennifer Hodges reports.
Investigators have made what they're calling a chilling discovery.
And apparently, the co-pilot, the first officer, shut off engine fuel flow to the engines shortly after takeoff for some inexplicable reason. And it's not, you know, it just doesn't make any sense right now why that would happen.
Aviation expert and former SFO spokesman Mike McCarron.
He had over 3,000 hours of flight time. He was checked out in this aircraft, so he should be familiar where the switches are located in the cockpit. So that the accident does seem kind of unlikely unless he was completely mistaken of what switches he was handling.
The engines starved of fuel immediately triggered a total power loss. The flight was airborne for only a minute before it crashed. Jennifer Hodges, KCBS.
Businesses at an East Bay shopping center were forced to close early on Friday because of a gathering of hundreds of juveniles that devolved into chaos. The meetup, reportedly planned via social media, began around 3:30 that afternoon at the streets of Brentwood Shopping Center. Brentwood police say there were physical fights and juveniles running in and out of traffic on Sand Creek Road. Businesses in the area also had some items knocked onto the ground. Five juveniles were arrested, one for battery on a peace officer, and all were cited and released to their parents. This, according to police, no serious injuries were reported. Police from nearby Oakley, the CHP, and the Contra Costa County Sheriff's Office also responded. A federal district court judge has ruled a stop to ICE raids, KCBS's Jack Ferris reports.
The images of ICE raids around California has been commonplace over the last couple of months, with arrests and deportations skyrocketing. This week, a judge in Los Angeles has hit the pause button on those raids for a very simple reason.
ICE cannot racially profile. They have to have a warrant. They just can't pick up somebody because they look Latino.
That's USF law professor Bill Hing.
The interesting thing is that ICE could do this. They actually have lists of people that haven't shown up at their hearings. They have lists of people who have been convicted of crimes. They could actually go and get warrants, but they're not doing it that way.
In addition, the deportations have actually resulted in the relocating of very few criminals.
The vast majority, even those folks that were sent to El Salvador a couple months ago, those Venezuelans who were alleged gang members, none of them had criminal convictions.
And of course, many illegal aliens concerned for their way of life are choosing simply not to show up to work.
These industries are going to hurt restaurant, dairy. There's just so many industries that rely on many workers that are from abroad.
In San Francisco, Jack Ferris, KCBS.
A commercial structure fire in the South Bay kept crews on their toes this morning as they had to keep a safe distance in case of a collapse. Reports of the blaze came in around 5:30 a.m. as it burned in the Roosevelt Park area in San Jose, just west of Highway 101. Firefighters were still on the scene around 7:45 this morning, saying in an update on social media that they were battling the blaze with aerial hose attacks. The fire had not spread to any other surrounding buildings, and no injuries were reported in the update, but road closures are in place and police ask that people avoid the area. The investigation into what caused the blaze is still ongoing. The Monterey Bay Aquarium has a new resident. KCBS's Kathy Whitman reports on the sea otter pup that was saved after it was found stranded near San Luis Obispo.
The Monterey Bay Aquarium's newest sea otter, Opal, was found abandoned in the ocean about 100 miles south of Monterey about a year and a half ago.
When otters strand when they're so young, they're very dependent on their mothers. The plan was to bring her into the aquarium and hopefully pair her with a surrogate otter.
But they had none available at the time, so she was deemed non-releasable, meaning she wasn't able to develop the skills to go back in the wild. But Elisa Sandage, a mammalogist at the Monterey Bay Aquarium, says she's been happy there ever since.
And she acted as a companion animal for other rescued and rehabilitated otters that are living here at the Monterey Bay Aquarium.
They've been working with Opal to get her to work with people and accept food from humans. She now spends part of her time on exhibit, acting as an educational resource.
Where the public's able to view them, learn about sea otters, just notice them doing their normal, natural behaviors, but much closer than you can get to them in the wild.
Kathy Whitman, KCBS.
From 2020 to 2024, 54% of the Pentagon's discretionary spending went to military contractors. KCBS's Alisa Clancy has that story.
So, is it the military-industrial complex run amok, or is it just the natural progression of costs, modernization, and innovation? Colonel Jeff McCausland says it's a little of both.
Budget has basically doubled since 2000, and we've seen an enormous amount of money going to contractors. That's a reflection of the fact that for 20 years, from 2001 to 2021, the United States was at war, and a large percentage of funds went to contractors supporting military operations in both Iraq and Afghanistan. Second of all, we have been recapitalizing the force. For example, we're now purchasing more F-35s. We're now putting out to buy a new aircraft to replace the F-22, the F-47. The B-2 bombers that participated in the military operation against Iran are well over 20 years of age. There are only about 19 left in the force, and so there's ongoing efforts to purchase a new B-21.
Not to mention drones. There are the Big Five that received $771 billion in Pentagon contracts: Lockheed Martin, RTX, formerly Raytheon, Boeing, General Dynamics, and Northrop Grumman. And next, it'll be up to the Big Six with the addition of SpaceX. Alisa Clancy, KCBS.
Thrive City outside of Chase Center in San Francisco transformed into a pickleball paradise this weekend. KCBS's Jack Ferris hit the courts.
Yeah, that hollow, somewhat dull sound should be familiar. After all, it's
pickleball, the nation's new game.
That's Dan Kramer with Big Ticket Sports. He's the mastermind behind the second annual pickleball tournament in Thrive City, and all are welcome.
We start at 19 as our youngest, and then we have a 3.0 division, which is our recreational or beginning division, and we go all the way up to 4.5, which is the top players.
And it all kind of started on a whim.
We do an event here with the Warriors also that's coming October 4th, 3-on-3 basketball, hoop it up. And that's how we started. And then we said, hey, let's do a pickleball tournament here.
About 100 teams participated over the two-day event, and friendships were born with nearly every serve. There was no contention on these courts, but Michael from the East Bay recalls one game elsewhere that got a little too competitive.
Yeah, it got real intense for a second. But
did anyone jump the net?
No jumping the net, just a lot of yelling back and forth.
Experience level doesn't really matter on pickleball courts. As Dan reminds us all, it's about one thing.
It's about being social.
From Thrive City, Jack Ferris, KCBS.
An innovative program in Sonoma County, which places Narcan in old newspaper boxes, has already saved at least one life. The program is the brainchild of the opioid awareness group Micah's Hugs. The Sebastopol-based nonprofit was started by the parents of Micah Sawyer Jr., a local man who died from a fentanyl overdose. According to the Press Democrat, Narcan taken from an old newspaper box outside a restaurant in Petaluma was recently used to revive a person who had overdosed on fentanyl. More public art coming to downtown San Rafael. KCBS's Megan Goldsby reports the city council has voted to hire a marketing firm to bring in more sculptures, mosaics, and murals.
The newly approved $250,000 contract allows local edition marketing of Walnut Creek to work their magic. Co-owner Sage Loring told the San Rafael City Council,
"Wherever we are, we prioritize that community as our own."
Meaning they'll look for artists' works from San Rafael first, and then the Bay Area and across California. Having prominent artists featured, he says, helps in luring in tourists, and that is one of the city's goals. They're hoping to be a more prominent public art destination. Stacy Lauman is the city's economic development program manager.
The goal of the public art program as conceived to date is to support economic development through creative placemaking, enhance awareness of San Rafael as that arts hub, and engage stakeholders and really draw attention and people to our downtown area.
The art will be going up in five different downtown areas next spring. In San Rafael, Megan Goldsby, KCBS.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts and stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying, "Play KCBS Radio."